I've been preaching a series that I intended for summer long on the home and the family and marriage. What does the Bible say about our roles as a husband or wife or parent or as a Christian adult in relationships together? I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. I've learned a few things in 46 years of marriage. We've raised four children, now have 13 grandchildren, and I've dealt with hundreds of people and their marriages over these 38 years as a pastor. And I often am faced with situations that I can't fix. I don't have the words to say or the ability or the power. And folks have problems. They need God. They don't need to turn away from church or away from the Bible or away from God. They need God. That's a crisis if they have a problem in their marriage and their home. I've read 17 books in the preparation of these messages this summer. The Godly Home, God in Your Family, The Steps of a Good Man, How to Build a Life-Changing Men's Ministry, Becoming a Real Man, Excellent Wife, Passionate Parenting, The Ministry of Marriage, Heaven Help the Home, Steps of a Good Man, Raising Godly Children in an Ungodly World, How to Have a Heavenly Marriage, The Formula for Family Unity, Men of Honor, Women of Virtue, Six Keys to a Happy Marriage Life, and The Exemplary Husband and The Exemplary Wife. Trying to gain every bit of information that I can pass on that might be a help to you at some point in your relationship, in your life, and for our younger people to be prepared as they get ready for marriage and parenting and all those sort of things. So look with me today at the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. Then we're going to turn to Proverbs and look at a couple of those, starting with number 11, chapter 11. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth and fowl of the air and the thing that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Turn over with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 11. Look at about three verses in Proverbs 4, or three or four sections. Excuse me. Proverbs 11, verse 3. One of the emphasis I want today in this message is the integrity that men need in their role as a man, as a Christian, as a husband, and as a leader. Chapter 11, verse 3, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead." We get into trouble sometimes. Crisis in our marriage, in our home, in our family, in our life. And the Bible says the righteous is delivered out of trouble. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 1, Scripture says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. Chapter 20 and verse number 7, again, this word integrity is emphasized. The Bible says in chapter 20, verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." So that's a promise from God that if we are people of integrity, our children will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask for your help. Guide me in what I say. May it honor and glorify you and please you in what we do here today. We need the help of heaven, Father. We need strength that is beyond our own abilities. We need wisdom in the decisions and choices that we make. We need your guidance to be clear to us so that we might see your path, that we might walk upon it. And then, Lord, be pleased today and be blessed that we are your people who give you praise and thanks and adoration, for you are worthy. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God has communicated to us his love at Calvary when Christ died in our place. He exchanged his righteousness for our sinfulness, that we might turn from our sinfulness to accept his righteousness. Salvation comes to us by God's Spirit using the Word of God to bring conviction to our heart that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, that the Scriptures are true, that he rose from the dead, that he is Lord forevermore, and that he has the power to save us if we turn to him. And we are convicted that we need his forgiveness, that we can't save ourselves, that we're in trouble as we stand in our sinful nature wherein we were born, but that Christ can save us and change us and give us everlasting life. We are then born from above spiritually, and that gives us a new beginning in life. And in that new beginning, we simply need to obey God and study his word and grow in our faith. It's really very simple. We complicate it all the time, but the formula for what we are to do and how we are to grow is a simple thing. Some get saved as an adult or teenager and have a great desire to learn the Word. My wife and I were saved as adults. It was a couple of days before my 24th birthday when we got saved. We'd been married almost 5 years at that time. And I took a New Testament and put it in my pocket instead of a pack of cigarettes. And I would get my Bible out during break and read Scriptures and try to memorize verses and as a new Christian. And I grew rapidly because of that. I began to see after about 6 months to 10 months that I was around people all the time who said they were saved, and many who said they'd been saved for years and years and years. But for some reason, I seemed to have a greater understanding of things than they did because they weren't going to church, they weren't reading their Bible, they weren't spending time desiring to grow for the Lord. And y'all know my story, how that 1 year after we were saved, we were in Bible college training for the ministry. And some people grow rapidly like that because of a desire. But often growth comes in spurts when we face crisis, when we face difficulty, when we face the brick wall, when we face a great problem. It may be a financial problem. It may be a health issue. It may be a marriage problem. But these things force us to confess our sins to God, to seek his help, to draw close unto him, and most of the time we're going to see that God is mighty on behalf of his people, and he can help us when we didn't think there was any way that God could help. He has that power. He sees our need. He knows our needs before we even ask, and yet he tells us to ask. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is asking, and we ask of God to intervene in our situations and believe that he is able. Marriage often has crisis. If you've been married very long, you're going to face some difficult things. And it may be one of many varied areas, from health to problems between the husband and wife to problems with your children. And those things open up communication between us that maybe we weren't doing before. It's awful easy to get working all the time and come home and get a meal and watch a little TV and go to bed and then repeat it again the next day, and the husband and wife don't spend as much time together as they did back when they were in love and dating and they couldn't be away from each other. You know, I used to come home from the Marine Corps on the weekend, Camp Lejeune. 5-hour drive. I'd come back to Rock Hill. I'd borrow my dad's pickup truck. I'd drive to Boone, North Carolina. I'd see my girlfriend. And I'd spend the night at her grandmother's house. And then I'd get up Sunday afternoon sometime. And I'd drive back to Rock Hill and then go back to Camp Lejeune. I did that every opportunity. Why? I was in love, man. I couldn't stand to be away from her. And over the years, you know, it can be that she sits in the bedroom and watches TV on her TV, and I sit in the den and watch TV on my TV because we don't like to watch the same things, you know. My wife, no matter how long I've been married to her, she still don't care nothing for John Wayne. And a crisis often will make us come together. It'll make us communicate. It'll make us talk about the problems. It'll make us spend some time together that we haven't been spending together. We might see the greater need that we have of one another and of each other's prayers. We see that maybe we're being a little selfish in how we spend our time or in issues that the other person might be facing because of the crisis. In discipleship for Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, when you get married, you need to die to self in the same way that you die to self to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to put your partner first. You need to see the importance that everything you want to do has got to be tempered by what is best for our marriage relationship. Raising kids takes a death to self. You raise children, there's a whole lot of things you can't buy for yourself or have for yourself because you got to raise kids and spend the money for them and help them and spend your time for them. Brother Tommy went over and worked on his daughter's house endless hours to help her be able to get it sold. Her husband's in the ministry down in Lancaster, and they owned a house in Rock Hill. They rented out, and they needed to get that prepared to sell, and they did, and they got a good price, and we praise the Lord for that. But it took time and devotion. And dads do that kind of thing all the time. Moms do that kind of thing all the time. Benji had his birthday party the other night. My wife went an hour or 2 hours before I did and went over and helped out. I showed up, ate a hot dog and a piece of cake. I wasn't supposed to eat the cake. I ate a piece of cake and then went home, you know, when it got time. And she was still there when I left. Moms do those kind of things. Dads do those kind of things. Edwin Lewis Cole wrote, "God made Adam and Eve in His image and likeness, and He endowed them with powerful characteristics. Number one, a capacity to know truth. They talked to God face to face in the early days. They learned from God. He was their teacher. The ability to recognize moral excellence. As long as they were obeying God, they were in moral excellence. Power to exercise the will. And herein is where they got in trouble. When they started making choices to disobey God. Power in their words and decisions. Eve said, here's this fruit that the devil told me about. It's good to eat. Adam, go ahead and eat it. There was great power in those words because it changed the world when they did that. They sinned and were put out of the garden. Little boys told me in class this morning, Benji and Brenda, your great-grandson, they were in the class with Diane this morning. They told me, said, Adam and Eve was in the garden and the devil offered them the fruit and they disobeyed God and they got kicked out. I said, you're exactly right. God gave them the right and ability to reproduce. Man is created in God's likeness in that man has a mind so he can know God and know God's will. Man has a heart so that he can experience God's love and give God's love, the God-like type of love that he receives from God, to others. And man has a will so that he can choose to do what God would have him to do. We need to make the right choices. We need the wisdom of God. We need to know the Word of God to guide us and direct us in the decisions we make. These enable us to love one another. Now, in a marriage relationship, first of all, we need men with integrity. Men with integrity. The Hebrew word in Proverbs means whole, sound, unimpaired, to be genuine of heart. That is what the Hebrew word integrity is defined as. The evidence of this is seen in ethical soundness in the daily life of living in moral excellence, the absence of being hypocritical in our ways. One who keeps God's word and therefore can be counted on as faithful and be trusted. Today we have something that other ages did not have, and that's the media. Through newspaper, television, and radio, and now internet, we get information in an instant, and we know about things all over the world, and everything anybody does gets put out there on display. In men of integrity, our world has shown us through these medias there is a great lack of integrity in the leadership of the world. I'm talking about politics and government and sports and business and in the church and in marriage relationship. You see all the time the failures of the world put up in the news media. I'll tell you publicly, I voted for Donald Trump. I liked a lot of the things he had to say that he promised. I knew he was a man who'd had a shady past. He'd been married and divorced and remarried. He'd been a part of Hollywood and all of that sort of thing. But when they revealed that tape of him on a bus talking to a guy and all the vulgar things he said, I hung my head in disappointment that he would say something like that. Now, he didn't put that out to be heard. It was taken secretly and broadcast to get against him in the election. But when I thought about all the things I knew about the other vulgar candidate that was running, I didn't have any problem going ahead and voting for Donald Trump because, in my opinion, he was the lesser of two evils. We need men and women of integrity, and people with integrity have conviction. They believe something and they stand on what they believe. Their behavior matches what they say they believe. And how important that is in this day when we don't see that in the leadership of the world. We see many of our people just at church. Some of you live in Charlotte, some of you live in Chester, some of you live in Rock Hill, some of you live in York, some of you live in Indian Land. I'm sure I'm missing a half a dozen. But we're 30 to 40 miles apart or more from this church, 10 miles that way or 15 miles that way, and we only see each other at church. So 1 to 3 hours a week we see one another. We enjoy seeing one another. We greet one another. We got a smile on our face. We ask, how you doing? It's good to see you, that sort of thing. That's encouraging to go to church and hear that kind of thing instead of what you might hear out in the world in vulgar things and all that you have to listen to. The Bible says about Lot when he went down to Sodom, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And boy, all you got to do in America is walk in a shopping mall and you vexed your righteous soul probably the time you're in there from what you hear and what you see and all that sort of thing. But we only see each other for a very limited time. Other people live with you as family or work with you 8 hours a day on the job, and they see you much more in stress, in crisis, in being tired physically. Do they see the same person that we see for 1 to 3 hours at church every week? How would they describe you as a person of integrity? How would they describe me as a person of integrity? We need men who lead their families to be men of influence for God, to be able to have influence on their children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It takes a devotional life to have growth spiritually. And men, we need to have that we might grow spiritually and be men of influence for God. Be men of influence with our marriage partner to help them be the best they can be. It takes a real effort to keep honey in the honeymoon after you've been married for a while. You know, you impressed that girl when you spent $2,000 or $3,000 on a ring to get her engaged. And you worked hard and you got a place to live and you did a lot of things like that. What you been doing lately? You know, those things that impressed her in those early days, you kind of don't repeat those. You know, you sort of, okay, all that's over now. I don't have to do that anymore. I can spend that on a car or a truck or a boat or a gun or whatever toy, you know. The influence on our children, the idea of a husband and a wife, how they live. Children need to see parents that love each other and who are not hypocritical in what they say to people in one place and then say at home. What do they see from you? What do they see from me? When kids are young, they form the opinion of God based upon their opinion of their parents. Dad is a visual example of the father to the child who will learn to have a heavenly father who loves him. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1, the king was told, King Hezekiah, put your house in order, you're going to die. And he wept and prayed, and God sent Isaiah to turn around and go back and tell him he was going to give him 15 more years. During that time, the king of Babylon sent him a note, said, I want to come over and visit with you. And he accepted the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, he showed him all of the treasury of Israel and all of the things that he possessed. And what this was doing was revealing to the thief exactly what he could steal. And Isaiah went back and rebuked the king, and he said, what have they seen in thy house? And the king revealed that he'd seen, showed him everything. Everything they have, the nation and himself, and he revealed it all. He said, Babylon will come for this and take your sons and make eunuchs of them and take all the wealth of the nation of Israel. That's exactly what they did. The book of Daniel describes what happened. They were the southern kingdom. I want to use that today to ask you, men, what do they see in your house? What do they see in your home? Does your home match the life that you portray at the church? Kids need to see the example of godliness from us if they're going to have a godly life. They will do far more of what they see us do and hear us do than what we teach them to do. Men, your wife has needs. Dr. Eldon Martins wrote a book, Show Thyself a Man. He gave David's advice to his son near death in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, where David told Solomon to be a man and to show himself strong and to be in the Word and to obey all of God's commands. And if we'll do that, men, we'll avoid a lot of the pitfalls that other people get in their marriage relationships. If we're spiritual and we go to church and we live for God and we're sincere and we're men of integrity, we'll overcome a lot of the problems and faults that other people have that we won't have. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says there how men are to dwell with their wife. You say, well, I already dwell with my wife. I live with my wife. Yeah, you do, but are you on the same page together in the marriage relationship? Are you really dwelling together? Or are you growing apart as the years go by? I had a couple that were dear friends of mine. She and I went to high school together. And we started attending Ryan's Steakhouse. First on Cherry Road. When it closed there, it moved over here off Anderson Road. And we went there for lunch almost every day. Get a salad or something, sit around and talk. There's about 10 of us would meet up and eat there for lunch. She and her husband had it all. They had an 8,000 square foot house, brand new cars. They owned three businesses. She inherited one from her father. They seemed to have it all. They had a son and a daughter. When her son turned 16, they went and bought him a brand new red Blazer. They seemed to have everything people would want. And then they got a divorce. She told me one day, I wanted to tell you first, I'm divorcing my husband. I said, oh no, can't we talk about it? She said, we already talked about it a long time. She said, I've been to the lawyers, I found out exactly what we own and how much it's worth, and he can have the business that was my dad's and the business that he started, and I'll keep my business, and we're dividing up and we're splitting. How? Why? They just grew apart over the years. Didn't spend any time together, didn't have the same interests. He became a little flirtatious with waitresses and all that sort of thing. And the next thing you know, she served him with papers, and that was the end of the marriage. Men, you need to know your wife, and you need to know her needs, and you need to communicate with her about her fears and her cares and her disappointments. And the Bible teaches us that as husbands, we're to give ourselves to our wife like Christ gave himself for the church. We are, 1 Peter 3, to honor her as the weaker vessel. We need to see her as something precious. If you had a precious thing that you used, some china or something like that, you would treat it with care. It was valuable to you. You knew it was very difficult to replace. And you need to look at your wife as that weaker vessel in the same way. She needs, I'm love that Sam stood up here this morning and gave praise to his wife for all the hard work she did this week. Women need to have the praise of acceptance. They need to be shown that they matter. They need to be shown by you giving your time to them and not just to hunting and fishing and running with the boys and going to work and building a career. I went through college and worked a full-time job. I know exactly what it's like to go 16 hours a day and sleep 5 or 6 hours a night and do it for a long period of time. And we had three children by the time we graduated from Bible college, and my wife had to take care of the home the whole time while I was out and gone. Your wife needs assurance. Some need it more than others. Some women are high maintenance, and some not so much. I'm blessed that my wife doesn't require a high maintenance. But all of them need some maintenance. You drive a car, you better change the oil in it, you better check the water in it, you better check the transmission fluid. Get 75 to 100,000 miles, you need to change the transmission fluid. There are a lot of little things you need to do. You hear it squeaking, you know it needs brakes. You might better listen to see if your wife's squeaking. She may need some maintenance. She may need some love and attention and affection and compassion and some help from you, some love and romantic and praise and all those kind of things. Some men spend more time on their hot rod than they do with their wife. They wash it, they wax it, they change the oil in it, do all that stuff. And they don't spend that much time on their wife or that much money. She needs an identity. Husband, your wife, the kids need to see her as mom, and mom's word is law. And you need to back her with the children and never correct her in front of the kids and overrule her to let the kids do what she said they could not do. That is one of the most horrible things you could possibly do for your children. You need to recognize there's going to come a time of an empty nest when all the kids are out of the house, and your wife's going to have some needs that she didn't have when you had all those children. My wife replaced our four children with grandchildren. And now we got grandchildren every day. No empty nest at my house. Takes understanding and patience. Now, man, recognize you ain't ever going to understand her completely. And wife, you're never going to understand your husband completely. But we better try. We better work at it. We better have some patience and thoughtfulness about it. A woman needs trust. Now, that's usually something easy to happen over the years because she earns that by never giving you a reason not to trust her. But I've seen a lot of second marriages where a man lost his wife to the neighbor or something, and then he gets married again and he's jealous and overly protective. He doesn't want his wife speaking to another man. He don't want to take her into public place. That's ridiculous. A woman needs to be trusted. A man needs to be trusted. They need attention. Some men watch TV or video games or read, and they don't listen to their wife when she talks. Confession. I've told my wife dozens of times, she can't remember this, but I've told her and told her and told her, if you want to talk to me when I'm watching television or I'm working on something, say, Jim, look at me. Would you turn the dryer off or get the clothes out of the washer and put them in the dryer when it buzzes? Yes, ma'am, I sure will. I'll be glad to. But if I'm doing something and you say that, I probably won't remember it. It never did register, you know. Men and women are not the same. Ladies can multitask. A man can't do but one thing at a time. Ladies need help with the kids and the home and the cleaning and the cooking and all of that kind of thing. Now, you don't have to do it all, but you could find some way. If you're home and you're free, instead of just keeping yourself busy or entertaining, find something you can help. Maybe she won't be as worn out by the end of the day. She might show you a little more romance that way. Women need TLC, tender, loving care. A woman needs that her opinion matters when she says something to her husband. A woman needs security and protection and to feel safe, not only physically. Gary Jr., your wife should feel safe all the time with you. He's a policeman. He carries a gun. She should feel safe. But you know, you have just as much responsibility for her to feel safe in your finances, for your future, to have a home, to have a place, to have a plan. Those things are important also. Women like pretty things. They're different than men. Man wants a deer head on the wall in the den and a fish hanging on the wall to show his trophies. Well, a woman likes pretty things around her. She likes sweet-smelling perfume that costs a whole lot of money. She likes a new dress every now and then. A man needs to understand a woman's needs. You need to understand she has needs physically that you don't have. It costs money, but she needs to go to the dentist. She needs to go to the doctor. She needs to have regular lady checkups. And those are problems that if you're not understanding about it, you're going to cause a problem in the marriage relationship. Sensitive, loving husband. Last of all, a man needs some things. He needs a supporting partner, one that has respect for him as a man of God. Middle-aged couple, the husband was not feeling well, and the wife took him to the doctor. Stayed there a long time, got examined, came back out. She said, well, did he say you're going to live or die? He said, I don't know, he didn't say. She said, I'm going to see the doctor. She went in to see the doctor. She said, is he going to live or die? He said, oh, he needs regular meals prepared. He needs regular sexual relationship. He needs regular care and compassion. And he'll get well. She came back outside. Well, what did the doctor say? He said, you're going to die. Men need love and respect from their wife. They like a clean home and some meals prepared. It's okay to eat out sometimes, especially if you can afford it financially and you want to eat out some. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind eating off paper plates, you know. You can throw them away. You don't have to wash dishes because I wash the dishes at home. I'd rather eat off paper plates. Well, I hope I've jogged your memory on loving husband and wife relationship and setting an example for your kids. and how vital you need God and His Word in your daily life. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You deal in our hearts. Helps to make any decisions that we ought to make. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Teenagers, if you're going on...